Welcome to Because I Said So, a show that is becoming very popular on Delmarva Public Radio. I'm Jenny Pastisak, joined by Kathy Bassett, Jackie Jennings, and Kim Hudson. We have a very special guest today, Grace Foxwell Murdoch, an etiquette consultant. She's going to give us tips on professional etiquette, birthday parties, when it comes to technology and table manners. You are not going to want to miss it.
Play, don't shovel, choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here, be careful, come back here, did you wash behind your ears, play outside.
You're listening to Because I Said So, a show that's picking up popularity and energy on Delmarva Public Radio. I'm Jenny Pastisak, joined by Kathy Bassett, Jackie Jennings, and Kim Hudson, and we have a very special guest with us today, Grace Foxwell Murdoch, an etiquette consultant. And folks, you want to maybe even stop your car and listen to this because Grace, it's kind of like when I thought of you, Grace, I thought of The Nanny, the show The Nanny. Uh-huh. So maybe you can help us with our children and their etiquette and behavior, whether it's at home or out in public, wherever it is, we need your help.
Oh, I'll certainly try.
And that's one of the questions I think so our listeners out there can understand, you know, how did you become an etiquette consultant and start with this business even?
Well, I have always loved manners and etiquette. And I learned as a young child how to set the table and how to prepare for guests coming to our house. My mother always had large family dinners, and we always had extra people at the table. And she invited those people because she knew our manners would be better if we had people other than family.
She tested you.
So there's a good little tip for you already. And I was a 38-year educator, Somerset County and Wicomico County, and I retired in June. And I began professional Grace in 2000. And it was because I had a job where I wasn't extremely creative and able to impart knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to continue to do that. So I started Professional Grace and I started with workplace professionalism training and business etiquette and customer service training.
Because we're not even talking just about kids.
No.
Adults need it too.
No, exactly.
And that's why we want to get them early.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've always liked dining etiquette, and I love dishes and silverware, and I love to see a beautiful place setting placed out in front of me and wonder how the meal will unfold. So I teach dining etiquette to adults as well as to children.
But Grace, I'm more concerned about how my son is eating his spaghetti, let alone using the right utensil. He's not using any utensil.
Well, let's ask though, do each of you make your kids set the table? Do they know how to set the table? They know which side the fork goes on?
Yes. Yeah. At this point, my kids do.
This is Jenny here. No.
You know, and I have the oldest kids here, so the answer absolutely should be yes. But when I do ask them to set the table, invariably they mess it up. And they don't think it's a big deal. So obviously I'm failing in this department. They do not understand why it's important for the fork to go on the left, the knife and the spoon to go on the right. And tell me I'm doing that right, please. Okay, good.
Is that right? Well, a simple way to do this, to teach them, is to find a simple place setting on the internet and print it off your computer and put it on the refrigerator.
Okay, he's 15. He's okay. Going to look at me like I've lost my... I mean, you know, is it too late, Grace?
No.
Is it too late for him?
No.
Okay.
And what's important to him is that he's about to go to some very special dinners. He might be taking a date to a prom and a dinner before that. He
yes,
may be invited
place,
to homes.
The table will already be set by then.
Well, then to know how to use the utensils,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's true.
Guys, I can understand why you think that that's a challenge at age 15 to teach them how to set the table, but they're going to have to impress somebody at some point. And you could also tell him about business when he has gone through college and maybe going to a business meeting interview. He's going to need to know these things. So mm-hmm. You just keep practicing. You just keep putting it out there for them and give them the reasons why it's important to know things.
How about rewarding and that kind of stuff? You know, like I'm trying to think of a way I can really get him to do it. Like mm-hmm. If he does it, you know, successfully, he gets more time on the Xbox.
Well, let me just jump in here for a second because, I mean, he's 15 and it may not seem important now, but the first time he sits down at a dinner where he is unfamiliar, you know, which one is my bread plate, which one, he's going to be, I mean, we all are, you know, we've all been there where you have 500 pieces of silverware. Mm-hmm. And you don't know which one. So you're really just doing him a favor so that he's not uncomfortable
of course,
in
yes.
a situation.
That's
and
true.
If you would have a family vacation where you or you would want to go to, there are some establishments in Ocean City that have fine dining, and you would reward them with practice at home and then say, we will apply what we're going to learn at home by going to this fun restaurant. One of them has a finger bowl in Ocean City that I love to go. It's the only place I know close by. What it would teach you, your child, how to use a finger bowl and when it's appropriate, and that it's not really a clear soup with a lemon slice in it. It's actually a finger bowl. So giving them little rewards that way.
Okay, wait, we need to know what restaurant that
okay,
is.
That would be Reflections in Ocean City. Because they serve honey bread and you have sticky fingers, and finger bowls are fun too.
Perfect.
Dab your fingers in and
now, do you,
dab it on your napkin.
I'm just curious for myself. After you've used the finger bowl, do they take it away or does it stay
yes,
there the
they
whole?
Will.
They
no,
will.
They usually take it away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good to know.
Okay. So we're going to start this early with our kids.
Right.
The six and
And practicing. Yes. And, practice. And you start it very early without really knowing it. You start manners and etiquette training by the magic words with please and thank you. And then you will gradually take them through when they have more experiences in public. Mm-hmm. You are doing it without really realizing it. Now, when Grandmom comes over, I expect you to do this. When Aunt Sue arrives, you know, we know she doesn't like dogs, so you're not going to let the dog jump on her. It's all these little things. Etiquette sounds like a very stuffy word, and really what you want to remember is it's the manners. Don't scare them with that Frenchy etiquette word, you know. Try to give them real situations where they're going to apply what you how you hope that they will behave. We can't plan for everything, ladies, because we just don't know when occasions are going to arise that something sets them off, or the situation might be that they just don't know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. So practicing and reading and providing books for them. They're great children's books out about manners. Teachers read them all the time to kids.
Is setting a good example?
Oh, modeling is everything. You have to remember when our children are born, everything else is learned.
Yes.
Now, there are certain things that they are born knowing, but everything else is learned behavior. And by your setting the example and eating properly and sitting down, getting up, walking around, being small in a space at a table, not being large with lots of movements, everything you do, they're watching.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that, you know, that has happened. I have an instance of belching in my household. Mm. I have two boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if daddy belches at the dinner table, and in some countries it's considered, you know, the bigger the belch, it's a compliment to the chef.
I love that excuse. That is a funny excuse.
But
we're in America.
right. When they do it at home, which they definitely do, you know, Nick is 5 and Stephen's 8, they don't really even laugh anymore at themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of done.
And they don't say, excuse me. Do they say, excuse me?
No. And
is belching okay if you say, excuse me, after?
If you know that it has sneaked up on them, that's one thing. But if you know that it's intentional, that might be a time away from the table.
Right.
Mm.
But
now, would that be true for her husband, too, who does it?
Absolutely for the husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know,
you're in timeout.
That's
yes.
the other thing he disagreed with. He's like, you don't have to excuse yourself when you burp.
Well, and
it
that's,
just happens.
But here's a good question, though. Don't you think that there are some... that it's okay to act a certain way at home versus when you're out in public? And do you set that up, or do you just set yourself up for failure when you allow that behavior?
You can always tell them that you have different behaviors, different way of talking in different situations and in different settings. Mm-hmm. But you still have to have your limits at home, because if there are no limits at home, how will you set limits when you're in public?
We have so much more we have to cover with Grace, who's here, when it comes to etiquette and our children. So we'll be right back. We're back with Grace Foxwell Murdoch, etiquette consultant, and we were sitting around the table earlier talking about what our pet peeves are, what we have, things that our children do or don't do that kind of either tick us off or tick other people off. Kim, you had mentioned the holding the door open.
well, that's something, it just doesn't come natural for my son and my daughter, but I'm really trying to teach him, he's older, to hold that door open for others. And yeah, this past weekend, he didn't hold it open for the person behind him, and she actually commented on it, and it was so embarrassing. Mm-hmm.
But do you think that, did he hear that?
Well, yes, because I told him what she said.
Because sometimes maybe that will help him think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We had a conversation about it afterwards, yes.
And what you say, Kim, is after the situation is over, you go through the situation with him again and you say, it would have been kind of you. You are showing your thinking of the person behind you. And you give him reasons for why he would want to hold that door. And that's what the whole manners thing is about anyway. It's thinking of others before you think of yourself. Holding the door is just a basic thing that we expect because we're grown-ups, but they really don't truly think about it. Again, to train them and to teach them and to not do it in front of, in that situation in front of that other person.
Now, should Kim have said something to that other person, or would that have shown poor manners?
Well, go ahead.
I did. Sorry.
What did you
That's
say?
That's so bad manners of me, Jackie. I'm so sorry.
What did you say?
I said, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I said, that is something that we're working on.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a...
I think that was perfect.
Oh,
but
good.
Let me defend you for a second, because I think that woman showed poorer manners than your son. I mean, isn't the first rule of etiquette, don't make other people feel bad?
Exactly.
Wow.
And that was a manner issue on her part.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And speaking of making other people feel bad, we've all had the situation where... the mother of a student in our class comes up to you and says, so you didn't invite my son, my daughter, to your daughter's birthday party. Let's talk about birthday parties for a second. Do we have to invite everyone in the class?
You absolutely do not. I like one of the rules that the etiquette books have in it about children's parties, that you invite the number of people for the age of the child. If you're child is turning 3, you invite 3 friends. If he's turning 6, you invite 6 friends. I know where it springs from to invite the whole class, and that looks very magnanimous on the party giver's part, but it's not teaching limits. It's not teaching your child limits. It also may not work into your budget to invite everyone. You have to remember you're the host or hostess, so you make the decision of who is coming. Your child will learn from you by saying, I understand that you'd like to have everyone, but that's not in our budget or it's not in the plan for this year. We'll talk about it another time. This is how the party is going to go this year. But talk about it prior to.
And I think you also might want to give your child something to say to the other kids. Now, you know, what would be the appropriate thing to say to a child who's not being invited to your birthday party, do you think?
Well, I always told my own children to blame it on their mother and just say, well, my mom said that this is all, I'm sorry, but my mom said. And you help them practice this because it will give them a security blanket for when they are approached, because it will make them feel awkward.
We did have we had an example of this. So, you know, I got a message from a friend and said, oh, you're having a birthday party this weekend. And I actually just came down to it and told the truth. I said, he's making his own list now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry you didn't make the cut. I wasn't rude, but it used to be when they're so much younger that we would invite our friends and their kids because they're our friends and their kids. But now that he's 8, he has his own friends. And I may not be friends with their parents, but he made the list. Mm-hmm. So that was the answer, and it was the truth.
You are the organizer. Yeah. You get to call the shots.
Yeah.
And if someone feels bad, you're sorry about that. You can always extend it and say, well, we hope to have another activity soon. We'll certainly try to get together.
With
That's right.
So-and-so.
It depends upon how badly you feel about the person's comment.
Right.
Because first of all, if you are challenged by who you are inviting to a party, there's the bad manners part on the other person's part.
Is every mother out there listening to this show? Save a lot of grief and heartache.
I would never walk up to someone and say, why didn't you invite my son to your son's birthday party?
In fact, I just can't imagine that scenario. But it has happened to me, too. I was confronted on the playground by a mother on the last day of school and said, you know, did you not invite so-and-so to the party? And I was like, first of all, it was probably a little short notice because I may have gotten the invitations done a little late. Mm-hmm. But they just went into the classroom this morning. So it's possible she hasn't even looked in her folder yet. It's the last day of school. You know, of course I invited your daughter. And I felt really bad about it, but she did. She made me feel bad. Mm-hmm. And I invited her daughter. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine that, you know, that you'd do that.
Well, but. And I just wonder how this started. Is this the part of the everybody gets a trophy generation? Like, you can't
Absolutely.
Make anybody feel bad. You can't leave anybody out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't and do anything it, yeah. with her self-esteem. We can't, you know.
Because the teachers don't want to deal with that, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming if that's the rule in the school that you have to invite everybody, it's because the teachers don't want to have to clean up the mess, I
well,
guess.
Let me say this, too. Invitations should not be issued at school. School is not the place for little, cute, white envelopes being passed out among the school children, because already you're creating a situation that's going to hurt people's feelings. So if you are going to have a party and you're going to issue invitations, I would encourage you to mail them.
Okay.
Or to hand deliver to the person's home.
I was going to say, if you don't have the addresses, because, you know, there are some friends that mm-hmm. we don't know their parents, maybe even it's on the sly to mm-hmm. the teacher to say, look, I only have three invitations.
See, but you put the teacher in a bad position.
But see, that's unfortunate for the teacher to have to handle, because she likes to treat everyone the same and be fair to everyone.
You're right.
Yes.
All right, so we've solved that problem. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's next?
Well, I know what you said about, you know, it has to be equal to the number of kids and stuff, mm-hmm. and I am guilty of the humongous blowout birthday mm-hmm. parties, so that's why I was slapping mm-hmm. myself in the forehead.
And let me caution you in this. With whatever you do with your children, because my children are now in their 30s, mm-hmm. and I've learned a lot of hard lessons. And the one piece of advice I can give you is that you never go back. If you may set a precedent mm-hmm. with a huge party 1 year, that will be what they expect. So just remember that temper what you do for them, because once you shoot off that big cannon of a birthday party, what will they expect the following year? And how will you create even a larger event? So just remember, you can't go back. It's hard.
That's a great point. I mean, if you have your five-year-olds, if you go on a limo ride for your mm-hmm. fifth birthday, what in the world do you do when you turn six or 10, right?
And what will they do when they grow up? I mean, I think it's darling when I see a little child getting their nails done. What will they do when they're my age and they say, oh, my goodness, I finally get a manicure today? And plus, here's the five-year-old getting their nails done. It just doesn't compute with me sometimes.
All right. Well, since we're still on birthdays, I have mm-hmm. one more question. Open the presents at the party, open the presents after everybody goes home.
I would open the presents at the party, because the giver would love to see the person's reaction when they open. And you're also going to tell the party person how they react to the presents as they're being opened. You give them clues to look at the person, say thank you. You don't want them saying, oh, I've got that, or, oh, that's the second one of that I've got.
Yes.
You have to prompt your child how to be a
Gracious
receiver.
Yes.
It's very important.
YouTube is full of videos of kids crying they didn't get what they wanted. That is very sad to
But
see.
The giver wants to see their gift opened.
Yes, it's to prompt them and make sure that they're going to react.
Yes, and prepare them to have good manners, to look at the person and be very genuine.
Okay. Well, Grace, actually, we're going to actually come back with you again, because I just don't want you to go. I'm learning so much. Wait till I get home. My kids are going to be like, Ma!
First, they're setting the table.
So we'll be right back with Grace Foxwell Murdoch.
If you like the program you're listening to right now, support it by calling 410-543-6895 or go online to delmarvapublicradio.net and click Support the Station. This is listener-supported Delmarva Public Radio, celebrating 25 years on the air with you.
And we're back with Grace Foxwell Murdoch, etiquette consultant, and we have learned so much. We've had two segments already. We're going to continue with a third, because we have more questions for you, Grace. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, this session is going to really focus on technology, because when you think about it, our kids, no matter how young they are attached to technology. And there's definitely etiquette and manners in relationship to in front of people with people and how they act when they're attached to wires and screens.
Again, it comes back to what limits the parents will set. And we know how interesting technology is. I am a technology geek. I love all parts of it. I play Words with Friends, guilty. Scrabble on my iPhone, yes. So I understand the fascination with it. Mm-hmm. What you have to decide when the event is occurring is what you're going to allow your children to do. If you're going to have guests in your home and you want your children to interact with them, which they need training in doing, then the technology is off limits. And you must say to them, we're not having your iPad, your iPhone, anything that starts with I except the ones on your face, we're not bringing to the table. I was just sharing that when my grandchildren arrive and they have used their DSs in their car to come to our home because it's a 2.5 hour trip, the technology is off limits because we have projects to do and we have interaction that we want to take place and it doesn't involve technology. Now, if they have a project for school, I certainly let them on my computer and I certainly let them use it, mm-hmm. but not the gaming. I remember before technology, children were allowed to read books when family members were around. Again, they're opting out. And we want to really help them learn how to interact and speak with adults and speak confidently in a group. So the technology is not the answer. We have to set the limits. It's just that simple.
Don't you feel, though, that kids today are losing the art of conversation?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
And that is something you practice with them. And you say, when Uncle Bill comes over tonight, one of the things he really likes to do is work on boats. What questions could you ask him? What would you like to know about Uncle Bill's boat?
Do you have boys?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
You do have boys?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I do.
I think there's a difference between boys and girls, aside from the obvious. You know, they just, at least my son is not as communicative as my daughter is, but it's more challenging.
Well, it's a lot of prep work. I mean, I'm thinking about this, and, you know, we all want our kids to be more social and not rely on the electronics, but that it does take a lot of work on the parents' part. And the other thing with electronics is, you know, if we're the models for them, well, if you look around, the adults are talking on their cell phones while they're at the bank or at the grocery store or at the restaurant.
Or while they're driving.
And it's, you know, it's really hard to set that example for the kids when everywhere they look, everybody's talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And the model, again, I can also mention is that when the children are home watching a TV show with their parents, I see parents with their phones out. So they're disengaged. They're seeing the parents disengaged, and they want to do the same thing. So if it's okay for the parents, it's okay for the kid. Yeah. Limits.
You're
limits
so right.
And modeling.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm guilty of when my daughter's doing her homework, and I'm doing something else. And she does not have my full attention, and she knows it. And she, you know, by the third time, I'm realizing that's a really bad mom moment, you know, so.
And how young is too young to start teaching some of this texting etiquette, Facebook etiquette, email etiquette?
You're thinking about the interaction of your children with all of this technology.
Other people, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing as whom do you want your children exposed to in real life? So do you want that same exposure on texts and on the phone? You can't monitor it if it's on technology as closely as you can if you have a play date and people are coming over. That's the other thing about play dates. That's one of my pet peeves. If they're coming over to play, the technology goes away too. You want them, you know, children's work is play. They're supposed to get to play and to be children. You thrust these sophisticated technology things in their hands. It's fine for a time, but it isn't the best way for them to learn to interact with people. And I love seeing a kid be able to maneuver on an iPad and an iPhone. My grandson knows how to download apps from iTunes, and he's 6. Quite how he got my password, I'm not sure, but I'll check into it. I may have to change it. But the point being that you have to monitor them. What's too young? It depends upon the maturity of the child, I will say that. But limits are very important. I'm repeating myself, but limits, limits, limits.
So texting, which is, you know, is the new manner of conversation. Mm-hmm. I swear my son had a relationship with a girl, and I think that was the sum total of the relationship was texting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I used to be a newspaper reporter. The words are important to me, and, and the fact that people today text, you know, spelling errors and grammatically incorrect. It makes me crazy. Does it make you crazy too? Or is texting a whole different thing that we can't even understand?
Well, it's going to spill over. What we do with texting, the younger they are when they start doing these the letter U for you, it's going to spill over in their writing. And that's a detriment, I think. For us, for grown-ups who know better, so what?
So is that an argument to I mean, is that a fight worth having?
No,
or
no, because they're going to have spell check. They're going to have somebody reread their work. And if they get caught, then natural consequences. That's You've told great. Them there's a correct way to spell words. You take time to learn it or you do spell check.
And maybe you just spend more time reinforcing spelling at the table. You know, you give them spelling words or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those things that's. You have to pick your battles.
Well, and I get a lot of, Mom, you just don't even understand. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a lot of that. Which...
Well, that'll be over anything.
Yeah.
Because we're oblivious. Yeah. We never said we were experts, right, ladies?
No.
That's why we have great.
And so I'm thinking about the kids, you know, traveling in the car and their friends are in the car and the kids aren't having a conversation. They're just texting. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? How do you, you know, we're not teaching other people's kids, or can we? How can we have all of the kids put their phones away while they're traveling in our cars? I don't know.
That would be a hard call, but if you have the rule, if they know ahead of time, when you're in my car, we're going to talk, so all phones away.
Mm-hmm. I actually find that the best time to get the most information out of kids is when they're in the car together. It's that former newspaper reporter in me. I drill them with questions.
But if it's not a safety thing, and they're not your child, you really can't impose your rules on them unless it's a safety thing.
It hasn't happened for me yet. Mm-hmm. My son does not have a cell phone yet, much to his dismay. Mm-hmm. But I hear about, you know, it's the kids in the car and they're not having the conversation. They're just texting. And, of course, you don't know what they're saying and they know that.
That's right. There are parental controls. And you can go into their accounts.
Okay, let me ask you this this one. A friend of mine who swore to me her kids were not on Facebook, her daughter, Facebook friend, my daughter, because they're on the same lacrosse team, and she wrote on my daughter's wall, hey, watch out for your mom spying on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. Mm-hmm. Do I tell the other mother that not only is her daughter on Facebook, she's warning other kids out there to watch out for their parents?
I would suggest that you think about this carefully. And also, what is your relationship with this other mother? Would you want to be told?
Yes.
Then take that and use that to inform the other mother. Not sure you care, not sure you want to know, but I feel compelled to tell you as a mom and out of concern for your daughter that just wanted to make you aware.
Well, it's interesting because this mother tells me that every day her kids come home from school and they put their cell phones on the counter and she picks up their cell phones and reads every single text every day.
Wow.
So I think she's very strict with them. And so it really alarmed me when her daughter put that on there. I haven't yet, but I was going to write, this is Annie's mom and I'm right here and I'll always be here. So, you know, something. But
On Facebook.
I've been debating.
Get away with that. Mm-hmm. Grace, we want to thank you so much. We could talk for hours and hours, but we are out of time. But for all of you listeners out there, you can find Grace online at professionalgrace.com. And you also have a Facebook page, Professional Grace. We're going to put your blog title up on our website. And people can go there. They can ask you questions. They can get your advice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not Dear Annie. Dear Grace,
yes.
please help me with my children.
Right.
So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great fun.
I hope we all learned a lot, I think. And I cannot wait to go home because I'm going to try some of this stuff. It's like an experiment.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks. And you can find us on Facebook at Because I Said So or online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Please join our conversations online. Tell us what you think. Send us your story ideas. We want to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Stop crying.
You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.